Zayin Pasuk Gimel. Perek Zayin Pasuk Gimel. Toiv Kas Mischaik. Good morning. Toiv Kas Mischaik Kivrei Pani Mitav Leiv. Good morning. Kas is better than laughter. Kivrei Panim through a harsh countenance. Good morning. Everything okay?
Yeah. Just crazy business.
Kivrei Panim litav leiv through a harsh countenance. Does a person improve? Yitav leiv, does his heart find improvement? Let's take a look at the Metsudos. The Metsudos immediately pasik gimel. Tov kas miskoi kivrei panim litav leiv. The question here is, what is kas? Pasuk here is coming to give praise to Kas. Kas literally means anger. Anger is never good. So how then can it say in this pasuk over here, Kas, how could Shlomo possibly give praise to Kas? That is a very difficult question. Therefore, most of the commentators understand that Kas here is not to be translated literally. Kas is to be translated as in a positive sense. So the Mitzvah says, Tev Kasim Yechter L'chadero V'zeh Mar Loi Kas. So I'm going to take it back. Have a look at the Mitzvah. The Mitzvah first says, if one person sins to his friend, he caused his friend harm, and his friend shows his displeasure, V'zeh Mar Loi Kas, Yoyser Noach Loi Mishayiru Loi Ponim, Yoyser Noach Loi Mishayiru Loi Ponim Shaychakos. Why? It's better that he should, instead of show him anger, he should show him a happy, smiley face. Ki b'mash emara loy sechakos. It means a smile. It means happiness. Ki b'mash emara loy roy aponim shel zam noyach achema v'yitav halev. This that he shows him roy aponim shel zam noyach achema. The Yetiv Halev Lo Yisna came Od Kichena Teva. Here, let's read further. Avul Imar Le Ponim Shechakos Has Sina Tumuna Beliboy. The sin is hidden in his heart. Vlo Yachmol Biyom Nokom Le Ismotso, and he will not show compassion on the day when he has an opportunity to take revenge. So he's saying over here what seems to be a very, very deep idea. Don't make believe. Don't be a faker. If a person caused you harm, don't smile. You should immediately express your displeasure with your friend, because that way you'll get out of the system. If you don't get it out of the system, if you suppress your displeasure and you show your friend happiness, oh, you did nothing wrong to me. In other words, your friend does not there. Your friend causes you grief. And you smile and you accept it. It's impossible. It's only human nature that deep down inside you're really filled with anger. You're filled with tsar, and eventually that tsar will explode.
Yeah, but again, we know that all of these things are forbidden to take that. Vengeance forbidden to. We are encouraged to sort of turn the other cheek, not retaliate. So
you have to say,
theme now.
Yes,
seems to be contrary to most of other things that we know of.
Okay, so I guess it means it has to be done in a way that's permitted. You have to learn Tzilas Sefer Chofetz Chaim. There are ways to show a person. I mean, I don't know the details, but you're asking very good. You're not allowed to take revenge, but it means over here that you should show your displeasure. If someone is a victim of abuse, you have to show your displeasure immediately. If you suppress your bad feelings, ultimately the day is going to come when you're not going to be able to hold it in, and the revenge you will take then will be a lot worse than if you let out steam immediately. Let's read one more time. Im yechta l'chaveroi v'zeh mare loy kas. If Reuven sins to his friend and Shimon shows displeasure, he shows anger, yoyser noyach loy. That's very good. It's very good. It's very good for a person to get angry. Mishayira loy. Why? It's much better to be angry now to show you displeasure than to be a faker and to make believe that you're happy. your anger will subside. You've let out all of the steam. You've let it out. The yitaf halev in your heart now will be friends. You'll make up. You'll kiss and make up with your friend. V'lo yisna kem od ki kein ateva. No longer in the future will you seek to take revenge, because you've already showed your friend that you are upset with him. You have expressed your displeasure and your bad feeling. Aval im mar lo ponim shechakos hasina tmuna. But if you go and you show your friend ponim shechakos, you smile, the hatred is hidden in your heart. V'lo yachmol b'yoyim nakam le'es matzo. You're not going to show compassion on the day that you seek to take revenge, when you have the opportunity to do so. It's a very deep idea. Okay, this is the way he teaches Prosh Pshat in the Pasuk. It is good, Toiv Kas Mischaik, it is good to show angry to your the fellow who caused you grief, then rather than showing happiness, Kivirai upon him, because by letting out your anger with the Roya upon him, Yitav Lev, it will repair your heart. You will now be able to come to terms with what has happened, and in the future you will no longer seek revenge.
Yes, there's another
Madre
where you don't even do that.
Don't have people who know not to have
Moshe Rabbeinu.
Moshe got angry. Moshe, this week's parasha. Moshe got angry, lost temper, hit the rock, and because he hit the rock, that's why Moshe was not allowed to enter into Eretz Yisrael.
To a higher standard, but still.
All right, because this is okay, but this is what he, this is a very deep idea.
The difference is very much in terms of the Torah saying, you know, telling us pie in the sky. Oh, this is what we should strive for. Shlomo HaMelech is more dealing with
reality, human nature, reality.
Exactly. And so you could say every miod miod shval ruach, and they darshened it twice miod to rein it in completely. But reality is, people are not going to be that way. So he was saying how to deal with reality, probably to a degree, without
making, you have to let it out.
Really doing major damage.
Well, our resident psychologist isn't here, but psychologists in general encourage expressing one's feelings
immediately.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what the Pasuk says. According to the Mitzvot, that's exactly what the Pasuk says. Okay, let's see the Rashi. Rashi is something very, very different. Toiv kas mischoik kivroi aponim masher mishe roidefes midas adin. Rashi is taking a quote from a Medrash. Rashi refers to the Midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He shows anger. Kas here is a code word for Midas Hadin. It is good for a person to suffer in this world Midas Hadin, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is cleansing his neshama so that in the next world he will enjoy a full measure of Olam Haba. Yeah.
You say by Yom Kippur, I remember you mentioned Yisurin, right?
Yeah, three things.
You get the tefillah of Rabbi Chanan ben Chana, Elokai Yitzurah, which you say before the end of things, Shalom de Yisurin, Bele de Chonorah.
The inui of Yom Kippurim should be the full dosage should be enough. Atkan, that we with the inui of Yom Kippurim should be the cleansing of our neshama, and we should no longer need any more yisurim in the future. No one wants yisurim, but Yom Kippurim is called by definition the day of inui. The inisim es nafshay seichem. You can't deny that. That's what the Torah says. But then there's also a difference between inui and yisurim. Okay, you're right. Chazal said that the three things are required: Eretz Yisrael, Torah, and Olam Haba. Only are required through yisurim. Okay, that's off the topic. Let's put that aside for now.
On the topic, I was thinking about the Shema Shmona Esrei for Mincha.
Yeah. The recognition that there is Yisurim and fasting, that is enough. That's all we need. That already is the fulfillment of what is decreed, and we don't need anything more. Okay, so we have over here so far Mitzvot. Now we have over here Rashi. Rashi over here says that over here the Kasher is a code word for the Midas Nekadosh Baruch Hu. He brings down upon a person Midas Hadin in this world in order to cleanse Neshama in preparation for Olam Haba. That approach is better than the person who has a Schoik. Hakadosh Baruch Hu showers upon him blessing in this world, because then he always has to worry that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is paying him, is giving him his reward in this world. Rashi, mi sheroi defes midas adin acharov, al yitzta'er, a person who sees that he suffers much in this world should not have pain. Why? Excuse me. No, it's okay. It's okay. What?
But not agonize over it.
Should not fight. Okay, excuse me. I'm sorry. Al Yitzdayer, Toiv Hayelohem Lidor Haman. He gives examples. Toiv Hayelohem Lidor Haman. Well, thank you very much. I can always rely upon you. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shakol Niyeh Bid Varo. He beat you to it.
Yeah, but he didn't get your seltzer.
Oh, no, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. No, no, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good.
Wine?
No, 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 this is good, this is good, this is good, it's good.
Whiskey? Did you stash your seltzer? It wasn't in the fridge.
Okay, let's see Rashi. Mi sheroi defes midas hadin acharav al yitzta'er should not have pain. Why? Toiv hayeluhem ledor hamabul im herak v'shbaruch l'ponim zoyafos. It would have been better. He's giving the examples. It would have been better for the Dor HaMalv because the Shparuch would have shown them Panim Zoyafais. Life was too good. Was too good for the Dor HaMalv, and suddenly HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought upon their destruction in an instant. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have brought a recession, would have brought some difficulty in their lives, perhaps they would have reflected that their deeds are not correct, and they would have done tshuva that would have prevented them from being destroyed. It would have been good. More so, it would have been better than the tzchok, than the laughter. The happiness, meaning the shesochak imohim, Hashem smiled at them. Hashem misled them. She'ilu hera lohem kima roya ponim. If Hashem would have shown to them a small amount of roya ponim, of anger,
disfavor,
hayum chayzim lamuta, they would have done tshuva. Period. And then he gives another example.
So why did Hashem? Why did Hashem do that?
Why did it? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously he felt they were so wicked. Hashem, we don't know. We do not know how Hashem conducts his affairs.
Well, because he was still giving them an opportunity, well, during the time of Noah, for example, to do tshuva, and that's right.
But we find this midah only by Klal Yisrael. I mean, the Klal Yisrael came much later, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes us little by little, not in order not to allow our sins to accumulate. Because if they accumulate to a certain point, then Hashem has no choice but to bring upon us a complete destruction. They were goyim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them an opportunity. He told them, he gave them, Noach also told the world that there's going to be a mabul and you should do tshuva. Giving Musar is not the same thing as HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing suffering. Noach and Yonah gave Musar. Noach for 120 years he gave Musar to the generation. Yonah gave Musar to Nineveh. Do tshuva. He told them to do tshuva. It does not say anywhere that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a recession. He brought a natural disaster. He caused people to suffer. It caused them to suffer, which would cause them to reflect upon their bad deeds. It's an entirely different concept. Further, now, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have shown them a small... Next. To another example. Then we now, in addition to Rashi giving an example of the generation, Rashi refers to Adoniyah ben Chagis. We know that Adoniyah ben Chagis, he wanted to take over his father David as Melech. He wanted to be the new Melech. And Shlomo and David did not sanction that Adoniyah ben Chagis should be the new Melech. He gave it over to Shlomo. He promised Bathsheba. So what gave him the chutzpah? Where did it come, the chutzpah, for Adoniyah ben Chagis to do this? It was because the Pasuk says explicitly, because he never received Musar. His father, the entire life of Adoniyah ben Chagis, not even once, did his father sit in him. Look at the words. Tov Hoye, it would have been good for Adoniyahu im atzovoy aviv al kol avera shahoye oiseh. If his father would have given him Musar at every point in his life when he did a wrongdoing, then he would have had a different upbringing. He would have developed differently. He never would have had the chutzpah to seize the malchus for himself against the will of his father, and he would have lived. Because he tried to take the malchus for himself, that cost him his life. After Shlomo became melech, he killed him.
I thought he was next in line. I mean, he had a machshava of Shlomo died,
The other one
everyone always has calculations. Everyone who does an Avera, every criminal will always come along with some convoluted
rationale
for their sins.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bathsheba came to tell him.
Yeah,
Bathsheba Nosan Hanavi. What?
Did he know?
It seems not. David was zokeh. David was ill. He was bedridden, and that's why Adoniah took advantage. He gathered some of his father's loyal followers. A whole group of people. These were some of David's best people, and they all followed him. They wanted the melech, but it was not meant to be. David already promised Bathsheba that Shlomo would be the melech, and this was viewed as a rebellion, and this rebellion cost him his life. After Shlomo became king, Shlomo had him put to death. So he would have lived. Who knows what Klal Yisrael would have been like? Can you imagine if we had in Klal Yisrael a line of people coming from Adoniah ben Haggis? Could you imagine today Klal Yisrael would have been a very different Klal Yisrael? We don't know what it would have been. And because he did this Avera, it cost him his life. Who is the cause? So the Pasuk is coming to criticize David. If David would have given him a bit of Musar as he developed, as he grew at every stage in his life, instead of sugarcoating every event, he would have developed differently. This is a very big criticism that people write about in the newspapers today all the time. The Derech of Chinuch today has dramatically changed from the time many of the people here, from the people from when they grew up, or many adults, anyone over 60 years old, when they grew up, they were beaten, they were hit, their parents hit them, their parents denied them a reward, they were suspended, and they were not spoiled rotten. And today you live in a generation, the attitude is, if I brought the child into the world, it's my duty to give him everything that he possibly wants. And we go very, very light. Like someone said to me today, if Chazal, this is a very spooky thing, someone said to me today, on Yom HaKippurim, what do we do on Yom HaKippurim multiple times? Chotasi, Avisi, Poshati, Oshamdu, Bogamdu, Gozalmdu, Banadofi, Alchet, all the Alchets. If Chazal were living today and they were writing the Vid, they would not write this. All they would say is, Ribbono Shel Olam, I didn't do anything wrong, but I could have done better. That would be the form of vidui that the Anshei Knesset Hagdola would have been forced to write for this generation. It's only because we're grand. What? That's corporate vidui.
They never say vidui.
We did nothing wrong. A person, they advise a person, chas v'shem gets into, I read all the rules, chas v'shem get into a car accident, never ever confess your guilt. Even though you're dead wrong, you went right to the red light, you were 100% guilty, the rule is, never confess your guilt. Never. Wait until the trial. Can you imagine such a thing? This is this generation. We're born in Shalom Yom Kippur. Did I do anything wrong? Chas v'shalom. I could have done better. So
that's what the Americans brought to Japan. Japan, when people have an accident, they said there was a statistic in Japan when the people had an accident, everybody go, "Oh, I'm sorry, it's my fault." The other person would say, "No, I'm sorry, it's my fault."
Yeah.
But and they never had all these cases because people right. like you know were
they
sorry.
Confessed.
But since there's a lot more Americans right. here now, the guy said, "Sorry, it's my fault." They said, "You better believe it." And they started having lawsuits.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the limud. It's actually a pasuk. It's a pasuk in this week's parasha. What does it say in this week's parasha? Kidar tahapuchos hema bonim lo emun bam. What does the word emun emun? It means simply. It means there is no faith. There is no faith. What is emun? They're a perverted generation. Okay, a generation which does not show any faith to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But on a much deeper level, it means a tremendous curse. It means a generation where there's no upbringing. Where people, children are like weeds. They just grow in the wild. There's no emun means vayehi oimein es hadasah. Mordechai, he raised her. He gave her a derech in life. It's very rare to find a child, a person walking into a room, and he's disciplined, and he is a product of tender loving care, a parent actually went and spent time with him, disciplining him, thinking about giving him a custom tailor-made derech and chinuch to produce a dignified and honorable member of society. Okay, we don't have these type of people today, unfortunately. It's a dar tapuchos heima banim lo emun bam. There is no upbringing. There is no emun upbringing. And it's not the pasha on the pas. The pasha on the pas is we don't have. We have a generation where we do not show emuna to the Ribbono shel Olam. Yeah.
I think you told a story somebody did about there was a kiddush in shul in Flatbush. A young man comes over to the table and says, "Please, could you pass the table and grab some coke?" One man looks at the other and says, "You must be from out of town." He asked for his honesty.
Okay.
Well, how else would you say it?
Listen, what do you want today? When families have 12 children, when you have 12 children, and both parents are busy trying to make a parnasa, it's just like, it's out of control. So what are you supposed to do? I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, in Lakewood, it's a very big problem. Lakewood, the families are very big. All the women go to work. And parnas is a very big problem, and the children they live in a culture where it's survival of the fittest. It's bullying.
The Hasidim,
the dropout rate in Lakewood is unbelievable.
Question of families
in Lakewood is unbelievable because the world descends upon you. Yeah.
Okay, let's see. So this is what it says over here in the Rashi. Can Rashi over here is giving over here a little woman from the word Rashi. Toiv hayol adonio im atzavoy. I mean, it would have been a good yeah.
Rashi just the fact that I don't get where is Rashi coming from in terms of
the pasuk
saying that the scope that he showed the Ramabul and the scope that.
Well, Rashi is taken from Medrash.
So, Adonijah, do we see that anywhere?
In Tanakh, sure, it's the first pasuk.
That he shows scope.
Yeah. The pasuk explicitly says v'loy atzavay aviv miyamav, that his father.
He didn't have a hard time, but did he do the opposite? Enoch,
and so you're saying something very profound. You're saying that by not showing, you're saying something very important. By not showing kas, that itself is a form of sechayk. It doesn't mean you have to go and shower the child.
To
shower the child with blessing and just by not disciplining, that itself is a form of sechayk, which we're using loosely to mean laughter, to mean happiness, to let the child develop on his own, which is dangerous. So the Maskanu Rashi over here is giving us two interpretations, telling us what he's giving an example, a klal, and an example for a prat. He's giving an example for a generation, the Dor HaMabul, and he's giving a generation for an individual, Adonio Ben Chagis, and he reads the pasuk in this midrashic way, Toiv Kas, it would have been better. It would have been better for Hashem to show Kas, or it would have been better for David to show Kas to Adonio, Mis-Sichoik, then Hashem showing Sichoik for the Dor HaMabul, and for David showing Sichoik to Adonio, Ki V'roya upon him, had the father shown a degree of roya upon him, yitav lev, the child or the generation, they would have improved their heart, they would have been better off. So you're saying that chas v'shalom. We don't know ki loy machshav osai machshav osai. You're asking a question. Why then didn't Hashem and why didn't David then? David didn't know this. David was the father of Shlomo. Hashem doesn't know this. So we do not know the calculations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for whatever reason, chose. I don't know. There's no answer for that. Why do bad things happen to good people? We do not know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for whatever reason, he withheld his show of displeasure with Klalis, with Dar HaMabul, by not showing that he was upset, and he's going to punish them. And he allowed their affairs to accumulate to the point where he completely obliterated them in one shot. What about David? Why didn't David? And then Chazal also gave the same criticism to David with regard to Avshalom. Avshalom also he rebuilt. It was even worse.
The Medrash brings Amnon as the next example.
Amnon, okay, and then does it also bring Avshalom? I remember learning about Avshalom. It was the same thing. Avshalom was too good.
And then Hashem Betzion is the next example.
Okay, there are many different examples. Rashi, for whatever reason, is only giving two examples. Okay, let's see the Targum on Pasuk Gimel.
In the Gar Amar.
Okay, the Targum says, Tov, Rigaz, it would have been better. Tov regards the regards Mori Oma al Tzadikayo be Omer Hodin. I told you this in advance. When I told you the pasuk after we learned the mitzvah, I told you already alluded to the Targum that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he cleanses the tzadikim in this world by bringing upon them the midas hadin. Okay, now Rashi really mixed the two together. Because Rashi, when he began, he says Mi Shereidef es midas hadin achrav al yitztarer toiv. Period. And then I think Rashi is saying two different ideas. Rashi is very, very cryptic, very short. First, he says what the Targum says. This idea, Tov regards, it's good the anger, the regards, Mori Oma al Tzadikaya bi Oma Hodein, min Choycha, more so than the laughter. Choycha means to laugh, to Mechoyich, that he laughs in Rashi Ayah on the wicked. Why? Arum, because, Be'av Oshus, Apei Shechente. Because the royal ponim of the Shechina osay bitsurto uparanusa beoma, the royal ponim of the Shechina that manifests itself in the form of tsaros and puranus in this world begin is so that leoitava, to do good, leiv tzadikaya, the hearts of the righteous, vitzaloin, and so that they should pray kodom mori om before Hashem, duru mirachem aleihom, that Hashem should have compassion upon them. Okay, I didn't really prepare this talk well, but he's saying a lot more than what meets the eye. That the anger that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows to the tzadikim in this world is all for their benefit, so that they should daven to him. I told you a little bit different. I told you that it cleanses their neshama, the sin that a person has in this world cleanses the neshama for Olam Haba. That's not what the Targum says.
That's a different concept. It's like wiping the books of the...
That's not what the Targum says.
So there's no more punishment.
Yeah, there were Sora, Rivka, and Rachel that they were on corals.
So Ashtay Shadavin. With Filoson Shal Tzadikim.
Those are two different concepts.
Okay, so that's what it means. Kiv roy apanim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows roy apanim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the Shechina shows tzoris, arum be'av oshus ape shechinta, through the anger of the face of the Shechina, osay yitav lev. Yitav means a person's heart opens up. A person's heart opens up and comes close and connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the koyach of tefillah. Okay, so we take away so far really four ideas. Four different, well, I think I'll say four, really, Rashi is a little bit vague on that first point, but that's really three ideas. The parish of the mitzudos, a person should show, don't let sinas chinam, don't let it build up. Get it out of your system immediately. When a person sees that someone, his friend, is not behaving in a proper way, you should let him know immediately, because if you're going to suppress your displeasure with your friend, ultimately it's going to backfire. Every person has a breaking point. It's a mitzis. And when someone explodes, boy, do they explode. Mm-hmm. The damage is lethal. It's unrepairable. The person will immediately get out of his system any problem that exists. That is a healthy thing, according at least going to the parish of the Mitsudos David. I don't know what modern psychologists say about this. What do they say about this idea? We all know that in life it's not always practical, right? It's not always practical. You have an acquaintance in shul, and he comes into shul and he's sitting in your seat, or he does some minor infraction. It's not always practical that you should go and you should lash out and say, "What are you doing?" and get out of your system. Sometimes you just let things go.
We talk. That's the right idea. We talk about being assertive as opposed to being aggressive.
Assertive.
Assertive is stating how you feel about it. and not accusing the other person. So when this happens, I feel such and such a way. So the other person doesn't feel as he's being blamed. If you're aggressive and say, you know, so-and-so...
That's already combative. That's no good.
You're asking for retribution. Oh, you're going down the wrong road.
But what are psychologists about suppressing your feelings?
Well, you should let it out, but within reason. And something called catharsis, which Freud came up with, doesn't really work. Like, you should let out your feelings and just let it all... Just let it all out.
It's interesting.
You actually feel more angry. More angry.
Uh-huh.
It might feed into being more.
So this is a very interesting source. This pasuk is a fascinating source. When the Mitzvah, before you came, we're on the Mitzvah. The Mitzvah says, let it out. Immediately.
Well, within reason.
Within reason.
Yeah.
Within reason, he says, let it out. Okay, there are a few short midrashim. Okay, there's one midrash that says, I'll read the entire midrash. So, psik zutrasi, toiv kas, mischoik. Kivoy upon him, so the Gemara dashed this in reference to really what I told you before. That's where I got it from. I read you Toiv Kash Hakadosh Baruch Hu Koyes Al Tzadikim El Mazeh King Yitshenemar Vayichar Af Hashem B'Moshe Vayimach Aliyar Nechicha Halevi. Hakadosh Baruch Hu got angry at Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe suffered from tzaras when Hakadosh Baruch Hu, when Moshe refused to take the mission of taking Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, Hashem got angry. Mitzchayk, that kas was better than the schayk she'sechakim harasham el mazeh shemanech haKadosh Baruch Hu beim ponim v'ravim kinyan shenemar nulam bavur zos hemadaticha bavur harozcha eschaychi. We compare it to Paro. Paro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was tolerant of Paro. Paro rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu multiple times, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu explicitly said, I'm going to let him go. Even though he refuses to let my people go, even though Paro is defiant, V'ulam, ba'avur zos hemadeticha, ba'avur so that har'oscha es koichi, I will show my power.
That's all. Big
parsha
there.
Okay, ultimately, so it's an interesting medrash.
That was after he was already
It's Le Paro. Hashem already hardened his heart. Okay, but it's very interesting that the medrash is taking this pasuk and is taking the two people, and we're plugging in Moshe and his nemesis, is that the word? Moshe and his enemy, and that is Paro.
Antagonist.
Tov mikas mischoik. Okay, tov kas mischoik mikivroy panim itelev. So therefore, we're comparing over the Kadosh Baruch Hu was angry with Moshe in the very beginning. Moshe, interesting idea. Both Moshe and Paro refused to do their mission. Moshe refused to take out the Jewish people, and so did Paro. Paro also refused to let the Jewish people go. They both did exactly the same thing. Take someone else, not me. But okay, but there was a refusal. It was a refusal, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu was intolerant of Moshe.
If you're listening, if you follow the text of the parashas, yeah, the most, you're saying, tell me more, until Hashem said to him, Lo yikein eskem el mitzrayim ba'alo. Take a while. He says, I can't do that. I need
instant results. Instant results. Okay, but it's an interesting idea. You ever think of it like this? Who would think of it like this? That both Paro and Moshe were equal in respect, that there was a degree, not the same as Rabbi Malevsky pointed out, but there was a degree of refusal. Of refusal to implement the plan the way Hashem wanted. And Moshe was punished, and Paro was punished. Moshe was punished immediately. Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe. Hashem got angry at Moshe, and right away Chazal said that he was stricken with tzaras. When he behaved like, I mean, to be all the very.
According to Rabbi Schwab, he makes it. This is where he goes back when Moshe hit the rock. This was going back.
The Haynes
said this was because he didn't want to do it at the very beginning when he said Shlach Tov Biyat Shlach, and now Aaron had to be the Aaron of Yichah Yehi Neviecha because he didn't want to talk. And this put Aaron in second in command, and this all, he develops the whole thought process, why Aaron had to, they had to switch positions from Kohen Gadol to this, and ended up Moshe at the rock, and so this was, his punishment was hitting the rock, all the way back to Shlach Tov Biyat Shlach.
But I thought he got Shirash, which says, hey, no, I mean a big.
Is that not? I thought that was one of the reasons.
Because of the Amun. Okay, there are different interpretations. Enochnami. Okay, you have to look at Rashi. There is a punishment. When it says, every time it says Vayichar Av, there's always a punishment that comes with it. I don't remember what Chazal say. But it says in the Pasuk clearly, Vayichar Av Hashem Moshe. Hashem got angry at Moshe Rabbeinu. There was kas. That kas was to the benefit of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, I don't know the deeper meaning of what this means. It's what all the Medrash says. It's an idea to focus on the two. They both, Moshe and Paro, were equal in their refusal to do 100% participate. And there was a consequence both ways. Okay, there's just one other point I want to make from the Paras Yosef, the name of the Seif, and he says that this pasuk is to be connected to the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk, yesterday we learned that Toiv Lechas Lebeis Evil Milechas Lebeis Mishteh, Basho Seif Kol Odom Lechayit, and we learned five perushim in that pasuk. This pasuk, according to the Paras Yosef, is a continuation, because when you go to a base Ovel, what are you going to see there? Kas. Again, kas doesn't always mean anger. People shouting and screaming and fighting. Kas means a frustration, a dissatisfaction in life. Tsar. Kas means, it's a synonym here for pain. You go to a Beis Ovel and the family is suffering. They're suffering from the loss of a relative. And that rubs off on the participants, on the people that are coming to Menachem. You're affected by it. That cast that you're going to witness in the Beis Avel is better than the Sechik. You go to a wedding, you go to a party, wonderful, everyone is dancing, there's joy, there's simcha. You're going to take away when you're going to leave the base, you're going to leave the wedding, you're going to go with a good feeling. What a beautiful simcha. But what has this done for your neshama? When you walk away from, when you go to a wedding, you have a good meal, and you dance, and you're happy, you come home. How has your neshama derived benefit? Are you a better person tomorrow morning when you get up to go daven tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock in the morning? Are you any different? You're the same person. But when you go to a Beis Ovel at night, think about it, it's really true. When you go to a Beis Ovel at night and you go to where they're really mourning for someone, the next day is a different day. It really, really shakes you up. The kas that you experience in the Beis Avel is better than the schik you experience in the Beis Mishteh, because you are a better person. You have improved yourself through the experience. So it's a very simple idea, but it's interesting. It's not something you would obviously know, that to take Pasuk Gimel and connect it back to Pasuk Beis. Okay, let's go further. Oh wait, I left out. I think. Let me just 1 second. Okay, no, let's go further. Pasik Dalet. Leiv Chachamim Bebeis Evel V'Leiv Kesilim Bebeis Simcha. Okay, it's repeating this idea. That now here it's telling us that you don't have to even go. The leiv of the Chachamim is in the Beis Evel, and the leiv of the Kesilim is in the Beis Mishteh. Let's first see the Mesudas Pasik Dalet. Chachamim Machshavas Chachamim. Now over here referring to going. Back in Pasik Beis, we were describing the obligation to go. As you remember, we learned from the Targum. The Targum focused even on the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to be Menachem Avel. The Targum did not say openly, but there's also a mitzvah to be Mesameh Chosan V'Kalim. You have a choice between the two. Which one should you do? Targum told us you should do the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim. That's more important than being Mesameh Chosan V'Kala. And we learned from the name of Rashi taught us, because when you go to Nichum Avelim, it's your last chance. And the Beis Ovel, the Nifter, the Neshama of the Nifter is there. It's your last chance that you can do Chesed with the dead. Whereas the living, if you don't go to a wedding, you can be Mesameach, the living, at another point in time in the future, when there will be other occasions to give simcha to the living. So it's a lost opportunity in loy achshav emosai. So, right, so here he's telling us, there we're talking about actually going. The difference between Pasuk Beis and Pasuk Dalet is, in Pasuk Beis we're describing the obligation to physically attend a wedding, or to attend Nichum Avelim. Here we're describing where your thoughts are. You're not going anywhere. You're sitting at home and you're thinking about You're thinking about what's going on. Lev chachamim beis evav, lev kisim beis simcha. Mitzudos. Mitzudos says lev chachamim machsheves hachachamim hu beis evav. The thoughts of the chachamim are in the home of an avel. Bechol eis yachshu beinin avelos. Laman yichna levavim to humble their hearts. Liyos nishma menachet to guard themselves from chet. Beis simcha. Tamid yachshu beinin simcha sariko. They're always thinking about dancing. The kalasaroish hamargil aver, which causes people to sin. Rashi leif chachamim beis evel machshavosam al yoim hamis. Rashi is different than the parish of the mitzudos. According to Rashi, Rashi is talking about the person's own death. Leif chacham bebeis evil in his own home of death. He's thinking about what's going to be when I die. What's it going to be? What's my funeral going to be like? What's it going to be like when they sit shiva for me? That's not what the mitzudo said. The mitzudo still thinks about what's doing by other people. You're not thinking about yourself. Machshavaysam al yom hamisa. Well, I shouldn't say yom. Okay, yom hamisa. V'leiv kesilim beis mincha ein chareidim yom hamisa. V'leiv bari ku'ulam. Their hearts are open wide like an ulam, like a hall. An ulam. So he seems to teach the beis simcha not to be in a place of simcha. It means a beis simcha has a very wide open area. A person's heart is wide open. There are no restrictions. Anything a person wants to do, he will do. There's nothing holding him back from doing an avera because he does not think about the yom hamisa.
Can you write your own eulogy?
What?
Can you write?
Why not? Why not? Why can you do that? You write. Some people make videos. They make by the irreligious or by the goyim. They make videos. They make videos of themselves. And at the funeral, they play the video. I want to thank this one. I thank that one.
Some guy I don't know.
Yeah.
I want my grandchildren to give me an Oscar.
Only the grandchildren. All the grandchildren.
Okay. Not, they would have had a bunch of rabbanim, and the rabbanim would have come.
And they just plopple and say things that are not appropriate. And Echrami, there's nothing wrong with writing your own hesped and having someone read it, or making a video and having it. It's just not stylish. But technically, there's absolutely nothing wrong. 100%. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. Okay, let's go over here. Let's see the Targum. Targum Pasuk Dalet.
Question. How does this relate to Chacham Mitzvah Gedolah Liyos B'Simcha Tamid? So how does that...
Balance. Mitzvah Gedolah Liyos B'Simcha Tamid, but you also have to focus on the Gilui Bir'ada. Rejoice with trepidation. Balance. You have to have both. It just means here, don't go to the extreme. Let's take a look at the Targum. Pasuk Dalet. Liboy Nedecha Kimaya. Anin, here the Targum says something very interesting when focusing on the Chorban Beis Hamigdash. The Beis Evel is the Beis Hamigdash. You're always thinking about the Chorban. Inon al Chorban Beis Mukdisha. Va'atziv, they're sad. Al Golus Beis Yisrael. But V'leif Shatyan, the foolish people, Bechedva Beis Laitzon Nuson. They're thinking about the bars, the places where people conduct themselves in the way of Laitzonus. Ochlin, they eat, v'shasan, they drink, umispankin, they take delight, they enjoy themselves. V'lo yosivun al lipoin, siguf acheihon, they don't think about the suffering of their brothers, the brethren. They don't think about people suffering. Of Dessler, throughout the war years, they write about him in the book that he slept with his clothing and his shoes on. Even though there's a halacha, you're not supposed to sleep with wearing shoes, he says, how could I sleep in a comfortable bed, in pajamas, when people are being killed every single day? And throughout those years, he never took off his clothing, I guess when he had to clean himself, and he slept with his shoes, and that's how he felt. He felt the suffering of his brothers. That's called the Leif Chachamim. What?
The Targum is being written on Ruach HaKodesh.
Shlomo Melech, he already foresaw that the Mikdash will be destroyed. And Echnami, that's the Targum. That's the Derech of the Targum. Targum is going and is... Yeah. In Echnami. In the present tense, but that's the Derech of the Targum. to think about the suffering of other people. And there's also, you know, it's interesting, I remember reading a story about a certain Rosh Shiva was invited to the wedding of a very close Talmud. And the Rebbe said, I can't come because, you know, they were talking over here years ago, even today, I just can't travel to the location where you're getting married. But what I'm going to do is, when the time when you're getting married, at that moment in time, you're getting married, the chuppah is called for 7 o'clock, I know it'll be late, so I'll wait until 7:45, I'm going to stop what I'm doing, and I'm gonna be misameach. I'm gonna stop what I'm doing. I'll put on a tape recorder of some good music. I'm gonna do something that will bring me simcha, and just think about you and be misameach with you. It's a very interesting idea, and I heard this only. I haven't thought about this for years. I remember reading this many years ago, but recently I was listening to Rabbi Rakefet describe the wedding of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And the wedding of Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe's parents could not attend. They were in Russia. And the wedding, where was the wedding? In Vilna? Where was the wedding? Where was the Lubavitcher? In Warsaw. And their parents, they could not come. So they made, at the time when the Rebbe was getting married in Warsaw, his parents invited people to come over to their teeny little apartment, which is probably a teeny fraction the size of this room. 300 people came.
The biggest communists came,
and they weren't afraid to show their Jewishness. They all came, and they made exceptions. The KGB said all of the mail going into the Schneerson should not be censored on this day. Everything was read and was censored.
Because if they censored it, all the Mazel Tovs would come like a week or two.
A week later, let all the mail go in immediately. We're not going to read the mail. And they even had a mitzvah tanz. Would you believe it? A mitzvah tanz only done with the chasen kala. With the kala. I guess they had, I really couldn't understand who the mitzvah, he said who the woman was. Maybe it was his mother. I think the relatives danced in a mitzvah tanz with the mother of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So there's such a thing as, even though you're not physically present at a place of simcha, there is such a concept of being mesameach with the people who are rejoicing at the time of their simcha. It says that over here to some degree. It says, Leiv chacham beveis evel. Poshup Shah in the Pasuk is, as the Mitzvah, someone Rashi says, it means, we're not talking about the time of the food, we're talking about in general. In general, a person that has an attitude, he walks around in a morbid frame of mind, he's always thinking about the funerals. Some people, even you know, you don't have to open up the New York Times to read any more of the obituaries. Today, you open up the FJJ, you go to the Misaskin page.
Nice.
Some people, that's the first place they turn to. They also want to know what's doing. Leiv chachamim beveis eidel. There's something to it. There is something to being mishtate, but it doesn't just mean to be mishtate the whole day. It means at the moment when someone else, when you know, at this moment in time, your chover, your relative, at this moment in time is going through a difficult matzav. How can I, at this moment in time, go about my business as usual? I know there's a levaya called for 10 o'clock. I cannot attend that levaya. How can I go at 10 o'clock, sit down to a big meal, a delicious, sumptuous meal, and enjoy myself, when my best friend is now at a funeral and has in front of him one of his closest relatives? There's something to it. Leiv chachamim beveis evel. And leiv kisilim beveis mishnah. We don't want to be together, even though we're not on the madrega where we think about the funerals every single moment in time, but at least there is something to reflect upon when someone else having tsar, to be mishtativ at that moment in time to have tsar. Okay, just one other quick thing I want to point out over here. I remember, it's always made an impression upon me over here. The Torah says, Tov lechas lebeis evel melechas lebeis mishnah. I remember once in yeshiva, every so often in yeshiva there are levias. And in a big yeshiva, you don't always know the people. You don't know well the people who are the avelim. So sometimes there's always a dilemma: should you go to the levaya? And if you go to a levaya, it's only in yeshiva all the time. If you go to the levaya, you know it's a whole day event. It's a whole day affair. It's going to take a half a day back and forth. And then once you're ready out of sync, once you're ready out of your routine, it already stares you. So So people always, they ask the Rebbeim, they ask, should we go, should we not go? So Rav Reisman, I remember once in a while, I was once in a Rav Reisman share, so he said over from Rav Pam, he said, Rav Pam, he remembered that when he was a Bachur, there was such a mice, and they asked Rav Pam, should he go to the Levaya? So Rav Pam said to him, I'll tell you like this, if you'll sit and learn today, you'll sit and learn, you will guarantee you will never have charata that you sat and learned a good Seder. You're going to sit down for 4 hours and learn Bahasmada. Is it ever going to come a time in your life where you're going to say, what a waste of time. I should have been doing something else during those 4 hours. It's not going to happen. Yari Shemaya Ben Torah will never have charata the time he spends learning. You go to a funeral. So sometimes it was very good that you went. It was a very, your presence made a difference. You were there, your friend saw you, he got chizuk, you participated. Sometimes you go to Levaya, it's a circus. There are 1,000 people, you can't even get in, you're outside, he doesn't know you came, doesn't know what happened. Was it really kedai to go? No. It's a suffix. You don't know what's going to be. You don't know you don't know what the situation is. So sometimes it's not a suffix. Sometimes this is a very close friend, a close friend, you have to go, whether you like it or not.
Or if it's a gadol.
Whatever, a gadol, the halakha, right? If it's a gadol, it's a talmud chacham, whatever. Sometimes there's no, but sometimes the people who ask these questions, there's someone in the yeshiva, he's an acquaintance, I know him, I don't want to be embarrassed when I'll see him later, how come he didn't come to the funeral, you know, maybe yeah, maybe not. It is a suffix that happens very often. Even so, the rule is ein suffix moitze midei vaday. The rule is if the alternative is to sit and learning is something that you don't have charata, sit and learn. If you're not, what? Okay, if a person is not learning, a person is working and he's doing other things and he can easily take off, it's not going to cause him to, so then that's a different story. But if you're doing something which is Torah, especially yeshiva boy, so then ein safik motzei midei vaday. Toiv lelecha slobeis eva melech slobeis. So this is just an idea which came to my mind when we learned this pasuk. So sachakol, we take out of this pasuk, I think we took away from this really four ideas. Wait, was it four? Was it three? Let's talk with the three. The first is the lave. The first is what Rashi said. Rashi said the mitzudas to focus on death, not necessarily your death. It's good to focus on death than to focus on simcha. Rashi says something very different. It appears in Rashi, the connotation of Rashi is focus on your own death. Don't focus on people dying. Focus on your Yom HaMisa. That will hold you back from doing averus, rather than having your heart appear, be like the heart of an ulam, of a beis simcha, the nature, the characteristic of a beis simcha, it's a wide open place. There's a great expanse. A person who does not think about the Yom HaMisa, his heart is wide open. There's nothing holding him back from doing every avera in the book. And then we have the Targum. And the Targum interprets the pasuk to mean the base edel is to focus on the Churban base HaMikdash and the Tzorois Harabim. Better than focus on things of joy. When is the next concert? When is the next entertainment event? That's not the thing. To focus on the Churban Beis HaMikdash and the Tzoros HaRabim. And then we presented this fourth idea is that at a time when you know your friend, your chover, is experiencing simcha, your heart should be with him. Leiv chachamim beveis. Well, it's an extrapolation of the idea. The leiv chachamim is there with the moment when a person is suffering, you should be with them. And by extrapolation, likewise, when a person is in the gedder of simcha, your heart should be there. Because this pasuk is coming to contrast the difference between actually attending an event to thinking about it and thinking about being in part of that event. Pasuk Beis focus on going to event. Pasuk Dalet is focusing on putting your mind, making believe you're present at that event. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Hey, Toiv L'Shmoya Gairas. How did pasuk? So according to that parish I told you, it fits very well. It's like a direct connection. According to the parish of what did I say? Yosef? I don't even know. Paris Yosef. The Paris Yosef.
Might incur kas, in other words, might bring out some, you know, you feel empathy, sympathy, whatever it is, it makes you sad as well and angry about maybe you had some connection with that person, as opposed to going to a base mishtab is going to make you happy. So it's
a continuation.
Take a look, I mean, not to say, but the Eben Ezra is usually very terse. Pussy Bates is a page and a half.
What does he say? What's the gist?
I didn't read it all. I just,
okay.
I don't have time now trying to listen to you.
Okay, let's go to one pasuk. Okay, a few minutes. Toiv l'shmoya garas chacham me'ish l'me'a shir kisilim. It is better to listen to the shout of the chacham than me'ish. Better than a man who listens to the song, the shir of the kisilim. Now, this is a very interesting pasuk. There are many interpretations. Let's first take the mitzudos. Pasuk, hey. Toiv l'shmoya. Where we're listening to Musa, Toiv Yoiser Toiv Lishmoya Garas Nezifa Min Hachacham Af Ki Yachrid Es Aleif. It's good to listen to Musa. Musa is always good to hear, even if a person's heart is shaken up. Mikol Mokem L'Tovo Yichoshev Ki Ein Derech Hachacham Lashmiya Garas Nezifa Kim Liyasha Derech. A Chacham, a true Chacham, will only give Musa that is needed, even though he's going to shake up your heart. But it's for the ultimate benefit of straightening your, of the person straightening his evil ways. Im kein hagoora hahilu tavas hashemeya meish rotzolaymar af im hu ish choshuv yorei elokim asher lo yokel rosha ba'avur shmias hashir. Even if we have a person who's a yorei shemayim and he does not have levity to listening to the shmias hashir v'yesh im kein v'zeh min hatoiv. Since there are foolish people who are singing, okay, so the ish shemeya kesilim is a person that is a good person, and okay, I think what the Mitzvah is saying, this is really more explained in one of the Mefarshim over here, is this person is also giving Musar. He's also giving Musar. He's a good person, but he's not on the level of the Chacham. The Chacham is cleansed from the influences of society. This other person is a person who mingles with the Ksilim. So even though this individual who is now is giving Musar, he's giving Musar, is not himself, is a Yorei Shemayim, and is a very good person, but it is impossible not to be influenced by one's environment. And if this individual listens occasionally to the shir of the Kisilim, it's going to come out in his presentation. So in other words, you have a choice. You can go to two drashas. One drasha is a chacham who is isolated. He does not know from the shir Kisilim. The other one... Is that what it says? The Mitzudas? Okay, there's another parish that says like, let's read again more carefully inside. Maybe I'm right. Maybe I'm saying, listen, one more time. Toiv yoyser tov l'shmoya garas neziv min hachacham af ki yechad es aleib b'kol mikol makam l'tov yichoshev ki ein derech hachacham l'hashmiya garas neziv hakim liyasha derech. He's only coming to do the right thing to you. Im ken agora hi l'tov as hashmeri me'ish, that's the part that we need. Rotz olayma, okay, the fact that the Mitzudas is saying the words rotz lema means be careful, is we're not going to translate the pasuk literally. Af im or af im hu ish choshev.
He's talking about the same, the listener.
The listener?
I think so.
Or maybe maybe it means just the opposite. Maybe it means the speaker.
I think it means
the speaker.
Af im hu ish choshev.
Listen to the
person
who heard it from somebody else.
Af im hu ish
choshev.
Yeah.
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 So it would not be really influenced from the Shmias Hashir.
The Yeshim came with Zemin HaToiv.
So there's a good aspect because it makes him a little happy.
Ki Misamech HaSalev Meisri HaSayogon. By listening to the Shir Kesilim, you're a happy person. Mikol Mokoyim Hoyl Sins V'Yakesilim Heim HaMesharim. Since the fools that are singing, Efsher Shelo Yashmiu Loizin Hashmeil Dover Kalos Reish.
He will be influenced.
Influenced. So Lufisha, therefore it's going to happen, it's inevitable, Lufisha Yovi Bulibai Machsheves Kalos Reish. You're going to hear some
you're gonna think
some So you have so it's better to go to the Chacham, because the Chacham is going to cause your heart to tremble, and that's going to straighten you out. That's better than listening to a person who Me'ish. Who's the Me'ish? Af im hu ish chashuv yori Elokim.
It's better to go to hear real Musar.
Yeah.
Than to listen to songs from Ksilim, even though you normally are not influenced by Ksilim because you're
And even though there's a great benefit, because it's going to give you simcha,
right.
It's going to change your perception, it's going to change your attitude in life, it's going to give you simcha, but there's going to be a consequence. The consequence is going to be a small degree of kalas rosh, and that small degree of kalas rosh is yotza. The small amount of damage that is going to cause great harm to the benefit. Okay, let's take a look at Pasuk. There is no Rashi. Let's take a look at the Targum. Targum Pasuk Hey. The Targum Pasuk Hey says, Tov le mitav b'midrash beis ulfana. It's good to sit in Koilel. It's good to sit in the Beis Medrash. And the lishma to listen the zoif givar chakima be'oraisa, the shout of a man who is wise in the Torah. Migvar, better go to Beis Medrash and listen to people shout and learning, and listen to them shout at you. Migvar de ozel lishma kol tavla, to listen to the sound of songs. The shotyon of the fools, better to go to the Beis Medrash and listen to people shout in learning than to go listen to the sound of Kisilim. Now, I think what he's alluding to over here is that in Bavel, they did not have the best midos in the Beis Medrash. Okay, in Bavel, that's the difference between the pasuk, the Chayvlin and the Ne'imin. The Talmidei Chachamim of Bavel were called Chayvlin. They were called people that hit one another. They fought in learning Melchamta Shel Torah. And the Melcham of Torah sometimes was very unpleasant. People would call other people by names and they would say insulting things. In Yerushalayim, they had good midos. And when they would talk and learn, they would say, "What do you say? And what do you say? Oh, that's so nice. That's so nice. You're right, and you're right, and everyone is right." In Bavel, "You idiot. What kind of chiddush is this? This is the greatest nonsense I've ever heard." So that type of approach is not a healthy approach. Yeah.
Includes that about Shammai and Hillel.
Shammai was
he just said
the way it is.
Hillel would give credence to what the other person said first, and then say his opinion after he gave the other person his due.
So from these two approaches, which one survived? From these two approaches, Bavel developed Talmud Bavli. We study Talmud Bavli. Talmud Bavli has been developed to a much, much greater degree. What?
There's some story, I don't know, where they said, "Okay, we'll try Minigiri Shalmi."
And it didn't go.
They tried it for a while, and he said,
it's not learning, right? So this is seemingly, I think, the Targum over here is coming to allude to that. Toiv l'shmoya ga'aras chacham. The chacham here is the Talmud chacham. The ga'aras is not just stam musar. According to the parish of the mitzudos, the ga'aras means a musar shmus. A musar shmus. You hire a mashkiach. In the yeshiva, the mashkiach gives musar, and the rosh yeshiva gives a shir. This was the traditional type of yeshiva, and although in Slobodka they changed. The Slobodka, they are a Catholic, talks about this idea where in Slobodka the rosh yeshiva was also the baal musar. In Torah Vedas, In Tarvadas, they wanted to divide. Traditionally, there's a Baal Musar and there's a Rosh Hashiva. The Rosh, they don't mingle. The one who says the Shir in Torah is not the one who gives Musar. The one that gives Musar does not give a Shir. It's two different fields. You have two different personalities. You cannot mingle the two. In Slobodka, Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel of Slobodka, his derech was he incorporated both them together. The Rashiv, the one who taught Torah, was also the one who gave Musar. And this method, to a very large degree, has been adopted by a lot of the Rashivas today, I mean the previous generation in America, who built Torah in America, where there was no real mashkiach. They have a mashkiach, and every yeshiva has a mashkiach, but the role of mashkiach was, part of his role was taken up by the role of the Rosh Hashiva. He was like a backup Baal Musar. The real Baal Musar was meant to be the Rosh Hashiva. The one who gave the Shir in Torah was the one who also gave Musar. And then there was also someone who just focused on the needs of the Bnei HaYeshiva. But according to it, appears to be a very different opinion between the Mitzudos and between the Targum. The Mitzudos says the Ga'aras Chacham is the Musar Shmuz. And the Targum seems to say the Ga'aras Chacham is the Shir. No Musar. The Shir is a Shir Pulpula Shal Milchamta Shal Torah. It's violent. It's a violent Milchamta Shal Torah, but that violence, the Chazal say, is Vohev Besufa, ultimately leads to love. When the Talmidim, they fight with one another, and you ultimately bring out the Emes through the Milchamta Shal Torah, you foster a relationship between the Rebbe and the Talmid, which comes to love at the end. Okay, we'll stop over here.